Welcome in, Brian Mazurowski with you on WBEN. Glad to be here over the next hour, hanging out on a Tuesday morning. A lot going on to talk about. I was yesterday around this time. I had it in the crock pot yesterday. A corned beef was making it. St. Patrick's Day week. A lot of people eating that this week. And you know, we picked one up, which we found on a good deal. The price of corned beef. Is there anything that varies more wildly than that from place to place, more so than a gallon of gas? And corned beef, I mean, anywhere from $5 to $9 a pound, depending on where. Now, maybe that's my problem here. I cannot make corned beef the same way twice. I do everything the same. It always turns out differently. And I don't know what my issue is. I've made some. They're delicious. It's like the best meal I've ever had. And I've made some where, I mean, you know, you still eat it, but it's just, it doesn't have that like falling apart texture. It's a little tough. It's just not quite the same. And I'm not doing anything differently. Is it the cut of beef? Is that the difference between a $5 and a $9 one? I had a cheaper one yesterday and it was all right. Wasn't the best, but I've made much worse. And, you know, I was like, my first corned beef of the season. I'm usually a, corned beef I treat a lot of times kind of like candy on Halloween, right? I go after St. Patrick's Day and try and see where the deals are. They're always lowering the prices for some of them. They have so much leftover corned beef, no one wants it anymore after this weekend. So, yeah, I'm going to. Which cut? I usually buy. But see, I don't think this, I didn't look, I was too, I saw the price, which was, it was like $6 a pound, and then it was $3 off a package. So I just saw that and grabbed it, and I wasn't, and then my wife put it in the crock pot yesterday morning. And usually I get the brisket flat. And I think this one was a little bit different. What's the other one you can get? This one was a little bit different. It was good. It might have been the point cut. It almost had like two layers. Anyway, I thought it was the brisket flat. That's what I usually buy. But anyways, I can't make it the same way twice. It's just been a years-long struggle with me. I don't know what's going on. It is a mystery every time I cut it open. It's like, all right, what are we going to enjoy dinner or not today? But a lot of people are doing that. I'll buy them up after when the sales all go after this weekend. My wife... on Sunday night, I'm like, all right, we'll make that corned beef tomorrow. And she goes, are you sure you want to make it tomorrow? We're probably going to have some over the weekend. And I go, well, yeah. I mean, I'll make it tomorrow. I'll make it Tuesday. I'll make it Wednesday. I'll have it every day. It's delicious. I don't care. I will eat the same thing every day if I like it. Can we have it tomorrow? We're going to have it over the weekend, like a week away. Like, how long have you known me? Like, what do you think my answer is going to be to that? Yeah, let's make it. Oh, yeah, we have pizza today. Are you sure you want pizza again? Like, yes, give me the pizza. Give me the corned beef. I'll eat it every single day. I think it's a healthy meal. Is corned beef healthy? It's just beef. You're eating it with what? I use carrots and potatoes. Not a big cabbage person, but sometimes you have cabbage. It's probably a healthy meal. The amount of which you eat, probably not that healthy, but... the meal in and of itself, I feel like is pretty good. But if you have any tips, I don't know what I'm doing wrong. I'm not doing anything differently. Usually it's a crock pot. Usually it's with a certain amount of water, carrots, potatoes, different every time. Sometimes it's absolutely amazing. Sometimes it's less than stellar. I've done the oven too. And again, mixed results. You make it the same way, get a totally different result. Doing the exact same thing. I don't know what's going on. Like, no other food is like that for me. Usually, you make it the same way, you get the same thing. Boom, 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 bang it out. Corned beef, I just can't put my finger on it. It's always different. So if that's you tonight, any other time this week, enjoy it. I had mine, my first round, I should say. I had mine last night. Come on, who am I kidding? Over the next month, March is corned beef month. That's my March madness. Just some sort of corned beef. Three times a week. throughout the month of March. So mine began yesterday. Today is Common Council meeting in the city of Buffalo. They usually meet, have some sort of meeting, whether it's committees or the full council on Tuesdays. And what was supposed to happen today is not exactly happening. The council had requested that management from Shays come forward and answer questions about concerns that the Common Council has about how the theater is being run. Because the city has a stake in Shays, they're a little concerned after a lot of members of their board of directors went away. There were all these, this is going back now over a year, these complaints about a toxic workplace environment. The director gone. You know, what's going on at Shays? They wanted some answers. Shays will not, from what we've learned, will not appear before the Common Council today as requested, but they will still address what they see as maybe some sort of issue. And I'm wondering, I wanted to start off with this. I wasn't going to talk about this today, but then I kind of got like steamrolling talking about this off the air earlier this morning. And I'm wondering if anyone else has suggestions for Shays and how it could be run better, because it really is such a jewel, a focal point here in the city of Buffalo that, you know, in actuality is kind of like an afterthought, right? I mean, think of, you know, everything you see in the city of Buffalo, landmarks that you see all the time. The Shays Buffalo sign is one of them. Big posters above. I mean, that's one of the things that they'll sell right at the Buffalo stores that are everywhere now. You can buy the Shays picture of the Shays Buffalo sign. You hang it on your wall when NBC Sports comes for Sunday Night Football in Buffalo. What are they showing? Maybe a little Niagara Falls, the chicken wings, the shots of downtown right on Main Street, the Shays Buffalo sign. I was looking at my son's got one of those Buffalo Bills superhero posters in the background. There's the city. And what's part of that? The Shays Buffalo sign. You know, that's one of these things that's kind of like a landmark in the city. And you go inside and it's beautiful. It's an amazing theater. And it's great that we have it here in Western New York. A lot of money has been spent to redo a lot of what's in there, you know, restore some of the original, you know, big grand artwork and, you know, a lot of this stuff that you really don't see in any. A theater's built now. What does it look like? You know, maybe industrial. It's more modern. You don't get the level of detail that you have in some of these older spaces like Shays. And so it's a great jewel that we have here in Western New York. But are we getting the most out of it? Now, that's what the Buffalo Common Council wanted to ask of some of the board of directors at Shays today. They're apparently not going to get the chance to ask this directly to Shays, but they're still going to bring up the issue. I'm interested more. I want to ask you what your opinions are of Shays and what it could do better if you go there or even if you don't. And I think that's the key part, if you don't go there. Because I was just running through this in my head. We were talking about the day, what it looks like. Oh, this isn't really happening in the same way we thought it was anymore. And I said, it would be interesting to get these answers from it. And I'm not at all interested in the quote-unquote toxic workplace environment. I'm sorry. I'm just not. I know that's like the basis for, you know, where this all began of, you know, some people stepping aside, of workers getting upset, and maybe of them being before the city council in the first place. That part doesn't really interest me that much. Like, what is a toxic workplace environment in 2023? Because that can mean, unless I see a fully detailed report, that can literally mean anything. I mean, really. Think in your day-to-day life, think about it. The toxic workplace environment. What are some of the things people describe as a toxic workplace environment? You know, there's the typical, what we've, you know, been used to over the years, long hours with no breaks, bad pay and abuse of the workers, overtime without being paid, things like that. Managers who are, you know, as this is going on, are expecting too much or something that goes above and beyond the law. You know, that might be a toxic workplace environment. You know, now that definition is broadened to be like, I don't know, Steve, he wouldn't give me the day off because my nose was running or something like that, right? Like the definition has been broadened so much that I kind of lose interest. I'm sorry. But on the topic of what the theater could be doing better, I think there's a lot of meat on the bone. Because what it should be a real centerpiece of Buffalo's entertainment scene is, I think, kind of like an afterthought. It's the centerpiece of the theater scene, for sure. And from all accounts, they've done a great job of bringing in these Broadway musicals and theater shows, right? They've got Beetlejuice coming up later this month. I'm just going to go by my limited knowledge and assumption and say, I think that's probably a pretty big show, right? Six the Musical. Now that's one I can't tell you if that's big or not. Never heard of it before, but that's coming to Shays. They've got some other, the Alanis Morissette musical. Didn't that win some awards? That's coming over to Shays. And they've done a good job of getting, Hamilton came to Shays, right? That was a big get. And they've done a good job of drawing these big Broadway musicals to come to Shays. But what else? I feel like their attention is solely in that basket, and it's gone unused for almost everything else. And the people I talk to have a certain opinion of Shays and what they think about it. And that is summed up in one word, snooty. Do you think that way? 803-0930 to join me here on WBEN. Is that the impression they give off? And I hear people say that, and I don't want to disagree with them. Like, necessarily. Because that's what, I mean, you think, right, it's this grand theater, and we do Broadway shows, and every now and then you'll see a comedian come by. I know John Mellencamp is going to be there, but there's rarely any concerts. You can get a drink, you can enjoy a wine in the lobby, but don't bring that to your seat. You know, that's not allowed, and we can't have any of that going on near the show or while the show, and not just for musicals, but for comedy shows too. I was stunned the first time I went to a comedy show there, and you can't have a drink. And usually you go to a comedy show and they say you have to order drinks while you're watching this. Not here. It's you cannot bring a drink into the theater as you're watching this comedian. I just thought that was a little strange, and it seemed a little snooty to me. But what else can be done? I look at similar theaters around, which I think Shays is better than all of them, and you see what they're doing on like a weekly or daily basis. And I don't know, are they like blowing us out of the water? Could we be doing better with Shays? I just bought tickets. I'm going to see Ryan Adams over at the Kodak Theater in Rochester. Like, I don't know. I'm sorry. You mean to tell me someone would rather go to Rochester than Buffalo? Like, they'd rather play there than here at Shays? But it just never would have crossed my mind that something like that would come to Shays. I go to shows and concerts at, you know, these types of venues, like a theater, a stage theater, more and more frequently now. A lot of people are looking to do that kind of show. And I feel like we never see them here. Like, why is the Riviera Theater? Now, that's very different. But they've got like four events going on every single week. They got concerts. Now, it's a different type of act. There are a lot of tribute bands and things like that. It's going to be a cheaper ticket, you know, for a smaller theater outside of the city of Buffalo. But they're bringing stuff in all the time. I'm wondering why we don't see that in the heart of downtown Buffalo at Shays, this big grand theater. I feel like it's being underused. And, like, what's the reason behind it? Like, why wasn't that show, I'm driving out to Rochester on a Sunday night to watch this? Why wasn't that in Buffalo? Why does Riviera have shows all the time? I guess the question is, does Shays need to step away from being the theater place and more of just an entertainment venue you know, for the people. Because right now I do think it has kind of like that bougie atmosphere. And I'm not saying there's not a place for that. Right? Like the first, is they call it first night or curtain up. Curtain up. You know, the big event they have in the theater district. And it's great that we have a booming theater district by all accounts here in Buffalo. But that is attracting a little more of a crowd. Like the monocle crowd, right? Like we're dressing up in a tuxedo crowd. Is there any room for jeans at Shea's? Or is there an attitude there? And maybe this is what has spilled over to, you know, what is the quote-unquote toxic workplace environment. But is there an attitude there that we're too, and I don't know this, is there an attitude that it is too, we're too good for a rock and roll show? Or we're too good for some of these other events to come in? Again, I don't know that to be the case necessarily. But that's what it feels like from the outside. And what I would want to know if I was questioning them today. 803-0930. What do you think? It's a jewel of Buffalo. We'll go to Mark. Mark, your initial reaction, when you think of Shea's, what do you think of?
I mean, I just think they should take a page out of Kleinhand's book. And, you know, they have graduations there and concerts. And, you know, why not at Shea's, right?
Yeah, that's a great idea. I mean, graduation, community events, right, Mark?
Exactly.
Have you been, what's the last thing you've seen at Shea's?
I've seen shows there, you know, but like you said, it's kind of maybe a little snooty. I mean, they don't have, the community's not really involved, where anytime you go to a graduation or concerts, they always seem to be at Kleinhand's. So what is Kleinhand's doing that Shea's could maybe borrow?
Yeah, hey, I like the idea. Mark, thanks for the call. You know, Kleinhand says it, UB does in their theater. UB's got, you know, a bunch of, they do comedy shows, rock shows, hip-hop shows, dance shows, like all this other stuff at their smaller Center for the Arts theater and graduations, too, of bringing the community in, seeing the inside of some of these venues. I mean, well, why don't we do that a little bit more at Shea's? I think there's a little bit of room for improvement there other than what it's used for. And, you know, I'll speak for myself. I have no problem. Again, theater, it's great. Let's continue bringing these great Broadway shows and whatever. There's absolutely a place for that. But is that what you should only be known for as one of the biggest entertainment venues in Buffalo? I feel like not. Personally, I went to see Book of Mormon. You know, excited to see it. Love the South Park stuff. I saw it, and at the end of it, I'm like, you know, I guess that was funny, but I just don't think I'm a theater person. I'm missing some of the jokes. I can't quite hear everything. Like, it's fun to see, I guess, but the theater is just not for me. And because theater is not for me, guess where I'm not going? Shea's. I'd like to be there more. 803-0930. What could they do differently? I mean, is there an issue there? Let me know. Brian Mazurowski here with you on WBEN. All right, back here, Brian Mazurowski with you on WBEN. And we're asking this morning, you know, Shea's was supposed to be, I don't know if they were ever actually supposed to be. They were requested to be in front of the Buffalo Common Council, answer some questions. A lot of upheaval there. M&T announcing about a month ago that they're ending their sponsorship, won't fund the theater's 23-24 season. Okay, a very tumultuous year for the theater. Right, president's out, board of directors in upheaval. What's going on there? That's what the Common Council wants answers for. But I wanted to know from you, what could they be doing better? Because I think there's a lot. 803-0930, 803-0930 to join me. That's the last 10-minute break of the show, I promise you. So if you were on hold, come back and we'll talk with you a little bit more. On our text board, a lot of you chiming in, you know, some of the things that I was saying that it's the home for theater, and it's great to have, and I hope it continues to be, the place for some of these bigger theater acts to come to Buffalo. You know, it creates a buzz when, like, a Hamilton comes to town. I think that was kind of the last theater show to really have a buzz, but there is that buzz when there's a big ticket item like that coming to Buffalo, and Shays is the place that will attract those shows. I'm not saying they need to go away from that, but outside of theater, it really kind of feels like there's no room for anybody else. You know, it's this pillar of Buffalo, but it's really kind of restricted in who gets to go there. A lot of comments coming in, one of them said that, you know, hey, Brian, they do a lot more than just theater shows. And it's like, okay, sure. You know, they do have kid shows every now and then, which is cool to see. My son went to see Paw Patrol. He liked it. He was very confused about why there were people in the, you know, it's different when you're seeing it live than the cartoon. But aside from that, you know, I know there's another kid show coming up here. There's some stuff like that. But, I mean, look at some of the other shows. You know, they're few and far between. All right, you got Joe Bonamassa, right, the guitar player. He was there. I know Jerry Seinfeld is going to be there in like a month or so. You got John Mellencamp there. You know who's buying tickets for those events? The same person for all three. Like, you're catering to the exact same person who wants to go to see old blues rock stars and Jerry Seinfeld. You know, that is a 55-year-old white guy. I mean, like, there's, and it's probably the same person who's going to see the Alanis Morissette musical. I just feel like there's room for expansion for such a vital, or what should be a vital place in Buffalo's entertainment scene, to make it exactly that, part of Buffalo's entertainment scene, and not just like a theater thing, because it's such a great theater that it should be used for, I think, a whole lot more. 803-0930 to join me this morning. Someone called in the last segment, said, you know, why not have some graduations there? You know, some of these other events that Klein Hans gets used for, that you see some of the other theaters around town. I agreed. You know, anything like that, other rock shows. I can't tell you how many times I'm going to Rochester. I've seen Rochester has two, like, stage theaters that are used for shows, each of them, I think, more frequently than what we see here at Shays. Which is like, you got to be kidding me. There can't be that many more artists who want to go to Rochester than Buffalo. Right? Or maybe I'm wrong about that. But, you know, I just bought tickets for, I remember seeing Wilco in Rochester at one of their theaters, and they played there, and they haven't been to Shays here, you know, any time in the last two decades, at least. I don't think, they might have been there before that, but not that I know. I'm going to see Ryan Adams. I have to go out to Rochester. You know, you can go see Massey Hall in Toronto. A theater, you know, that's a very historic, old theater, just kind of like what we're talking about here. And they got, you know, big rock acts all the time. But we're not seeing it here, and I just wonder why. And I wonder if there is a little bit of that, and you hear from people when I talk to, and one of the things, the one buzzword about Shays, does snootiness play a role? And I wonder if that is. I don't know that that's the case, but you wonder why, you know, it's only theater, it's only certain events, and if it's like the person with the bow tie and the monocle being like, oh, this is Shays. Excuse me. There's no electric guitar going to go on at Shays. The home of the theater. On our text board, 803-0930, someone said it's establishment sophisticated bougie egos getting in the way of progress. I mean, that's kind of what a lot of people are thinking. Someone else, they don't let volunteers have a chair in the back during performances anymore, which I didn't know that. They do have a lot of volunteers, too, at Shays, which they're very helpful people. I mean, it's kind of hard to find your seat without them if you are only going there once every, I don't know, 5 years, maybe more. Like, that's where I'm coming from here. Is I'm somebody who does kind of go out and do things in Western New York. You know, Shays, the big theater downtown right on Main Street, I'm there maybe once every 5 years. Maybe. I think that's pushing it. That seems a little off to me. Everywhere else, I find myself all the time. But not there. Somebody else, it's like they're too good to have any other show in there. Someone saying we go to Rochester, Syracuse, Cleveland for all the Broadway shows even. So there's other options in there. And then someone else said they saw Ozzy and Motorhead at Shays. Like that, see, that does not compute to somebody. They're saying that's back in 1981. I'm 33 years old. That does not compute to me. Like I could not put those together in 2023. Because to me, and I think to a lot of people, it's used for one thing and one thing only, and that's musicals. And a lot of you commenting that they agree. And we'll see. I mean, you know, they got the Riviera Theater, I think, does a great job. That's an old historic theater. I mean, all right, it's not downtown Buffalo. It's not quite to the level of Shays. And they're using it for everything. I mean, they'll bring a Kiss cover band in there for all they care. Whatever brings people in the doors. Shouldn't that be the attitude that you have? Anyways, you can let me know. 803-0930. Elsewhere, there's this, you know, on entertainment. This is, I don't know how likely this is to happen. This is one of those headlines that you see, and it never really comes to fruition. But it is interesting to talk about. It could be last call for alcohol at Madison Square Garden. You talk about historic entertainment venues. There you go. The State Liquor Authority initiating proceedings that could strip MSG of its liquor license, along with the Madison Square Garden, Radio City Music Hall, and the Beacon Theater, all in New York City. It's all over James Dolan, the owner, who is, you know, he seems like a pretty vengeful guy. He's been banning attorneys from venues in active litigation against him from going to Knicks games or anything else at any of his venues. They're using, like, security camera footage. Right? And like blocking all these people from going in, which is a little excessive. But the state says we're going to get involved. You can't do that. And in order to stop you, you're going to stop doing this, or we're going to stop allowing you to serve alcohol. And I wonder how, for you, how much do you need alcohol at an event like this to make it really enjoyable? Like, if this were to happen at the arena, you know, in the way that this is now being talked about happening at Madison Square Garden, what would you think about that? You know, could you enjoy yourself? March Madness is coming up, and up until very recently, when that was at the arena, you couldn't serve alcohol. It was like part of the NCAA rules or something like that, up until, I think, the last one or two times we hosted the tournament. But every single time, you couldn't serve alcohol. You had to go and, you know, you can go out before or after, but inside the arena, totally dry. And some people complain about it. But I'm wondering, is it that big of a deal? I had this conversation very recently with my one buddy. We were at a Sabres game a couple of weeks ago, and I love these afternoon, weekend Sabres games, because it's like perfect time to take my son to. You know, it's like I'm not keeping him up past bedtime, ruining the schedule. Anyone who, you know, has done that before and, you know, actually sticks to a schedule with their kids knows you're just asking for something bad to happen the next day if he's totally off the schedule. So, like, the 7 o'clock start times, it's always, like, a little too late for a toddler. But, all right, like, right in the middle of the day, that could be perfect. So I took him the other day, and, you know, usually over the past decade or so, you go to the Sabres game, and you're probably buying a beer while you're there. But I didn't have anything. You know, wasn't going out before with friends or whatever. You know, I'm there with my toddler, and we're maybe getting a little thing of popcorn or a pretzel before going to the seats and just kind of watching everything that's going on, explaining everything to him. And I said this to my buddy, who's like, oh, you want me to get you a beer or anything? I'm like, no, I'm good. And I go to him, like, you know, I think one of the differences here, like, I'm not drinking in part because I'm with my son, but also, like, you really don't have to do it when you actually want to watch the game, right? Like, what, the Sabres are playing very well. And I, you don't need to have a drink to enjoy the game. Now, 10 years ago, or should I say just about every year over the last 10, you know, up until about a year ago, that maybe wasn't the case. Like, the whole, the game was in the background, and you would, you know, just be for socializing, drinking, or something like that. There are games, you know, during some of the years where they weren't winning any games, and the team totally stunk, where we wouldn't be going in until after the first period. You'd be out somewhere at a bar before, you might have one at the game, and then you go out after, you probably leave early because the game didn't matter. Now it's a totally different story. You go in there, you want to see the game, you want to be in your seats for every minute of the action, and I don't know, like, I'm not really thinking about buying a $15 beer all that much. But how big of a deal is it for you? What about if it was a concert or some of these other shows that, you know, you'd have at the arena or, in this case, Madison Square Garden? Like, I don't, is it a deal breaker for anybody? I can't imagine it would be. If there's something you want to see and it's at a dry venue, I mean, does that make anybody think twice? I don't know. For all the, you know, hubbub that it stirred up when this happened, when March Madness was at the arena, like, every single time, I don't know if it really makes that much of a difference. Like, afterward, when people were going to the tournament, I don't think anyone was going out complaining about it. They were thinking about it on the way in. If you had a good time, you watched good games, you never thought about it again. But I thought that was interesting. That's the State Liquor Authority going after Madison Square Garden. On the text board, a lot of you on Shays this morning. Someone said volunteering there for 8 years and loved the plays and the patrons, but could say a little bit more about how they treat their volunteers. They wouldn't let you sit down even if there were 50 or 100 empty seats. I mean, isn't that, if you're a volunteer, what's your attitude when you're kind of doing that? Like, you're volunteering your time. I'm not being paid for this. I'm going to sit down if I want to. And, like, that kind of goes across the board. Whether you're volunteering at Shays, you know, at some bougie show, or even if you're volunteering, I don't know, like packing backpacks or, you know, making food for a food bank. Like, at some time, if you're tired and you want to sit down, at the end of the day, you are a volunteer. Now, if you go there and they have a spot for you and you signed up to work, like, you should do the work. Like, it's kind of rude not to, because they only bring in a certain amount of people that they know is the people they need to get whatever job they need accomplished. But at the same time, you're a volunteer at the end of the day. If you need a little bit of a break, you should be able to take one. You're not allowed to do that over there. You know, that would leave a bad taste in my mouth, too. Someone else said George Thorogood. What was going on at Shays in the late 80s? They're saying there must have been a culture change in the district. Yeah, I think so. Because I just could not see that happening at Shays right now. And AC/DC and more. Take me back to those days. You too? I mean, I don't even like some of these acts, but I just would like to be in that building because it is so nice to see a show like that, to have a different type of atmosphere, because every time you go in there now, unless you're going in there for Paw Patrol, I mean, that's a fun atmosphere. Yeah, all the kids excited, but you're going in there now and it's a very different, you know, you're shoulder to shoulder out in the lobby where everyone's trying to grab a drink and, you know, hang out and talk and do whatever, dressed up all nice, because you can't take the drink inside to the auditorium. So you kind of squeeze through there and then everyone files in. And there's like a light murmur and then a hush and you watch your show and give the golf clap and everything at the end. And I, you know, that's the attitude that I think you kind of normally get at Shays. I would like to see something else kind of rocking and how that place could look if there was a different event there. But at least that's me. Someone else, what are they going to do? If you sit down, fire you? That's the attitude I would have. oh, I'm not allowed to sit down, watch me. What's going to happen? You're going to fire me from the job that I don't get paid for? Oh, well. What am I going to do? Volunteer somewhere else? There's plenty of need for it. Someone else said that it's about time the State Liquor Authority goes after the big guys. That's what they're doing right here. I don't think this is the State Liquor Authority doing this on its own, though. They're being pushed by some other entities in state government to go after Dolan here, the boss at MSG, who just seems like everyone seems to not like this guy. Every story I read about this guy is a negative one. It's him kicking someone out or someone getting banned for life from Madison Square Garden for making fun of him. Someone's making fun of him for some reason. Are the Knicks ever good? I don't think they are. He doesn't really have any. Does he have ownership stake in the Rangers? I don't know. The Rangers play there, but I don't think he owns them like he does the Knicks. Either way, not a great track record of a lot of success at MSG for Dolan. So yeah, you're going to get some critics. He fires back, and now they're saying, well, guess what? We'll take the beer out of the garden. Which I think entertainment venues are looking at more so as, oh no, how am I going to make money? Because I can't charge people $15 for this thing that you can buy for two. More so than no one will come because they're losing the ability to drink, which I don't think people are necessarily really into. As I said before, as long as the product is good, I think you can go somewhere, ignore all the beverage lines, and have just a great time. I'm learning that this Sabre season. I mean, there's no need to. Sometimes you're missing periods. Let's go get a beer or something. Why would you do that now? I'm going to miss what? They could score a goal. They're scoring goals all the time. Not going to miss that. They did so last night. Great to see another win. It's like the old mob movies. Just when I thought I was out, they pulled me back in, and they're only, 6 points out with two games at hand? Or no, 5 points out, so they're right there on the cusp of the playoffs. Come on. We're all pulling for you to get there. All right. Well, I'll be back here tomorrow. You got David coming up after the news on WBEN. Joe Beamer after that to bring you through your Tuesday where it's going to be a little snowy. What's slick out there this morning? I don't know about right now, but watch your step if you're down on the sidewalk this one. You don't want to end up being, like one of our Washington lawmakers we were talking about earlier this morning. One slip. And that'll do you for a while. Thanks for hanging out with me over the last several hours. I'll be back here bright and early tomorrow morning on WBEN.